Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network and the Ministry of A New Beginning, Ambassadors for Christ. Our disclaimer is as follows. The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, or the host, or advertisers. And again, welcome to the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network. Your host this evening, Deacon Wes Armstrong, and we have a treat this evening. Special co-host. He's my son, okay? Co-host. So he's going to bring you some information, and he'll speak to you. And if you have any comments or questions, we'll open up the mics a little later on. But first, introduction for the show. This is a ministry that was given to me 6 years ago, and as God has blessed it from that time until now to still be very active in the work of the kingdom and dealing with people, our neighbors on either side, people I work with, people out in the community and stores and in churches. It's just my life is at that point right now to where, you know, I never saw it coming, but it is what it is. Okay, so got a scripture here. Let me get this scripture for you real quick. Okay. To God be the glory. I truly thank him for this day, this time that he's given me. And it was nothing I asked for. It was just given to me, you know, just given to me. And I thank God for that. Thank him for cleaning my life up for me, you know, and reconciling me with my family. That's one of the greatest things that can ever happen when you separate from your family because of issues that you want to do and your family's not doing them. And then later on in life, you know, God, he brings them back to you, and it's like, oh, my goodness, y'all couldn't have asked for anything better than that, you know? Okay, all right. The scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians, New Testament, behind Romans, 1 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians 5 and, let's see, we do 5 and 20 or, okay, let's do this right here. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to start here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. Okay, 2 Corinthians 14. I'm going to read down. For the love of Christ constraineth us. King James Version is what I'm reading. Okay, all right. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's you know, it's not that we beat people down because of the sins they're doing, but to let them know that they don't have to die in their sins. And their sins aren't the greatest in the world. Everybody has an opportunity to come to come to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of their sins, and then to live for him, you know. But we have to separate from the world and the ways of the world, okay? All right. All things are of God, who have reconciled us through himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Pray you in God, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay? All right. Let's have prayer. And then we'll turn our speaker loose. Okay? Okay, we're going to pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those who are homeless, those that don't have any food, those that are destitute, those that are young people, they don't have no direction of who they are and of their being. And then also we pray for the young people that God step in and give them opportunity to see the light and to walk therein and not to be conformed to this world and the things that are going on in the world, you know, killing people and taking the drugs, you know, and suicide and all this stuff is unheard of, but it is that time in the world. So where's the enemy? He is, you know, he's just putting it down on people. And we, the children of God, we have to stand. And we have to keep standing no matter what goes on, because life is going to be life, whether it happens to you or the next man in line, next person in line. Life is going to be life. Okay? All right. Let's go. And also, let's pray for the people in the war-torn countries of the Sudan and the Middle East, Haiti, where else? The Ukraine, the people of Russia, the people of the Philippines, you know, okay, and people in this country that we live in and call our home America, okay? All right. Most High God in heaven and in earth and underneath earth, we honor you. Truly thank you, God, for allowing us the time that we had. We thank you for blessing us, Father God. You rose us up this morning. You saw that we had life, health, and strength. And we honor you, Father God. We honor you. We honor you. The necessities of life, Father God. We weren't destitute. We didn't have to go hungry all day, Father God. You made a way for us, your people, Father God, because we separated ourselves from the world and changed up our way of thinking, changed up our way of living, changed up our way of presenting ourselves to other people. We love others, Father God, neighbors on either side. And we ask you, Lord God, to keep us, protect us from the evil one. Yes, Lord. And help us to go through diseases that we have, Father God, financial crisis, Father God, relatives not acting right, our young people just destroying themselves, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to come down and see about little us, because we can't take care of ourselves. We look to you, Father God, through prayer for ourselves and others, Lord God, because we didn't get here on our own. Somebody prayed for us, Father God. We truly thank you for that, that you had us in mind and you put us on somebody else's heart. We look to you to house the homeless. Yes, God. And to keep those that are working, not to lose their jobs, Father God. There's too much turmoil in this country, Father God. And there's no way to turn it around that man can see. But God, he can change it all if man would only give himself up to the Lord. And we look to you to watch after those people in those war-torn countries, Father God. They're very poor people, Father. And it's getting worse for them, Lord. And for, it's not for us to just use and abuse what we do have, Father God, but to use it wisely and ask for blessings over it, Father God. We give you the praise. And we ask you, Father God, to bless our families, our spouses, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Father God, neighbors on either side. And lastly, but not least, Father God, bless us, Father God, with the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, God, that we'll do the right thing for the next man in line. Love others as we love ourselves, Father. And we give you the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay, now, going to introduce our speaker. And as I mentioned, he is my son, James W. Armstrong, Esquire. Okay, and what we'll do. Bro, your mic is live whenever you're ready. Do what you
thanks.
Do.
Thanks. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to be on your show today. I've listened to your show many times, not as many times as I'd like. We've got another group that's that meets at 5 o'clock right now on Coast Time in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm about 40 minutes south of Seattle in Lakewood, so it's 5 o'clock here, 8 o'clock there. I've got another group that meets at 5 o'clock, so I try to jump on and listen to your show when I can. The other group, but I just want to thank you for letting me come on today. I just want to talk about a couple of things here today, and hopefully talk about some things I've been going through, and hopefully there are people who want to hear what I've had to say, and it touches them, or they hear something from it that benefits them, and they have some comments that they can make accordingly. I was just going to talk today about faith and perseverance, perseverance in terms of having faith, but keeping faith and knowing that faith doesn't mean things come to you healing, for example, in your time, but perseverance to be able to have that faith and to wait for God's time, because it's all about God's time, right? So I went to Daniel, and people know about Daniel and the lion's den and those types of things. I want to do something simple here, talk about something simple, but I'll be reading from Daniel in a couple of different places here tonight. The first is which is before I go, Daniel was like, Daniel found favor. It's amazing in the Bible how the main characters or the people of Christ, the people of God, they're given favor with certain people. And God allows them to find favor. And then when things happen, that favor they found with those individuals comes back to assist them in whatever they're going through. So Daniel 6, 7 through 10, and I'll read this, and then I'll get on with what I'm going to talk about. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it might not be that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. The presidents and the princes, Daniel had been given favor and had been given favor in terms of he was he was basically over the realm because he had interpreted writings, interpreted dreams. And these presidents and princes, when someone's given favor, like we see today in our own lives, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's wanting to bring somebody and drag somebody down. So these princes and presidents knew that they could find no favor with Daniel. Find fault with Daniel. Only thing they could find fault with Daniel concerned Daniel's God. So they conspired to have the king put this statute in the law and sign it because they knew that Daniel prayed to his own God and that he would be caught up when it came time to recognize this king and this king's God. So Daniel continued to be faithful to God. Daniel continued to pray. He knew it was wrong, but he got up on his knees. Got on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God. Okay?
Yeah.
The king heard about this and was displeased because the king had found favor with Daniel. The king was displeased, and he waited as long as he could before he was to do what the punishment was, cast Daniel into the lion's den. Well, he cast Daniel into the lion's den, and we all know what happened if we read the word. Daniel called up to the king. When the king, the next morning he got up, and he called out to Daniel, said, Daniel, where art thou, type of thing. And Daniel said to the king, he said, O king, live forever, still respecting the king, said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. So, Daniel had faith. He had faith. And there's a song that reminds me of Reverend James Cleveland. If you get off of this show tonight and you go to YouTube and you pull up Reverend James Cleveland, and he sings a great song, one of the greatest of all time, called Where Is Your Faith? It's a wonderful song. You know, they say you're out of work, tell me about it. And it's just wonderful. And Daniel, he had faith. And he continued to pray. You know, he knew this was not going to be curry favor with the king. He knew what the statute says, I'm guessing, but he just continued to pray. So that's one example. The other example is in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. And this deals with three individuals who, amazingly enough and interestingly enough, as children, when we heard about these three, we heard about these three as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I don't understand why we hear about them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because their names, their true names, those are the names that King Nebuchadnezzar gave them, but their true names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay? And frankly, they had been given favor as well, and they had been given reign over certain realms as well because of because they were with Daniel, basically. What the same thing happened with them. I mean, in Daniel 3, 4 through 6, it reads as follows. Okay. Then Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up. And those whoso falleth not down and worship shall in the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, the question becomes, where is your faith? I mean, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they had faith. And when the cornet sounded, they did not bow down. They did not get on their knees to worship this golden calf that King Nebuchadnezzar had risen up. They did not do so. And as such, they were cast into the fiery furnace. So the reason I talk about these two verses or in Daniel is, it's like, where is our faith? If something happened like this today, would we have the faith enough to say, okay, no, I'm not going to bow down to these false images. I'm not going to obey what you tell me to do if it's contrary to what God is telling me to do. If the punishment was you're going to get thrown in this fiery furnace, where is your faith? Would you have the faith to do that? Would you have the faith to be cast into the lion's den? And if we look at the word, what happened to those who conspired against Daniel after the king found that, you know, Daniel was still alive, those who conspired against them, their children, their wives, they were thrown into the lion's den and their bones were broken up and eaten by the lions. So those who conspire against the children of God, they did not win in the end, and they get basically nothing out of this. So today it's about where is your faith? Do we have the faith? And more importantly, do we have faith enough to wait for God to do God's work? I recently had a couple of surgeries. I've never had surgery before. I had knee replacement surgery on my right knee back on January the 10th. I had knee replacement surgery on my left knee on April the 11th. And that first surgery, I've got to tell you, it was hard times. I have never been in so much pain in my life. I'm the type that never takes Tylenol, Advil, Aleve, any of that stuff because stuff works. I never take medication of any time, any kind. But I was on medication after this first knee surgery, but it did me no good. I got no sleep. Mm-hmm. I was in constant pain. On a scale, pain scale of 0 to 10, my pain was at an 8 or 9 at all times. At the same time, I was suffering from hives. If you don't know what hives are, the skin is really itchy, and it raised splotches on your skin that are really itchy, and that was bothering me on top of the pain. I was dealing with knee surgery. I was up at all hours of the night. I was taking, they say for hives, you know, put a cool cloth on your skin, whatnot. You know, I was up at hours of night jumping in the shower and taking really, really, really hot showers, spraying the water on these hives just to get some relief. And you know when you pull out a hairbrush and start scratching your skin with a hairbrush, you know you are in some serious discomfort, which is what I was doing. But God brought me through. I finally started thinking, you know, it's not about God getting me through this now. It's about God be there with me as I go through. Because I know me praying to you right now is not going to stop these symptoms right now because I just had major surgery. Me praying to you is basically praying, God, you be with me so I can get through this in your time. And I got through it on that first knee surgery. Knee surgery, and then about that time I was to have the second knee surgery, and I had that surgery. I'm having an easier time with this surgery now, but I'm still asking that God be with me regardless of the symptoms to take me through this. Yeah. So those of you out there who, that's why I talk about faith and perseverance in terms of when you ask for something from God, are you asking for something so God can do it in your time, or do you have the faith and the perseverance to wait on God's timing? Because I knew that I could pray to God, but God, it wasn't going to be like, oh, the knee pain's gone. You know, I knew what was going to happen that way. It's basically, God, you know, I'll carry this knee pain as long as you allow that knee pain to be there, because there could be some kind of message you're trying to give to somebody else for me going through this. It's your time for that knee pain to be gone, let that knee pain be gone, but just be with me while I go through it. And I'm going through that the same thing and doing the same, thinking about the same thing as I go through the second knee surgery. You know, so with that, that's kind of what I was going to talk about today, just Daniel having faith, knowing he'd be tossed in the lion's den, but saying, you know what, I have a God that I trust in, and if I go into the lion's den, so be it, I go in there, the Lord will have me and the Lord will keep me. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, same thing. They were not good. They said, we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. We're not going to get on our knees and pray. And as a result, they were cast into the fiery furnace. And if we remember the story, they looked into the fiery furnace and they saw four individuals in there, not just Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. They saw four in there, and that fourth one was God.
Yeah.
So with that, Deacon Armstrong, you can, if you got any comments about any of this, that'd be great. And then you can open up to anybody else. But I just want to thank you again for letting me be on your program. It's a blessing always to listen to people's comments. I'm honored to be able to be on your show here today.
Yes, sir. Well, I am honored to have you, not necessarily as my son, but as an individual who believes and will trust in God. That's the main thing. It's about him, not about me, you know. He uses me to pass along to other people what they need. And I don't know it all, you know. I'm not the highest authority of anything. I got a little title, but it's not about that, and it's not about me looking to get pats on the back, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this is, I think there's 6 or 7 years with Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network, the global coalition. We've been around for a pretty good while, and God has blessed the founder to come up with this idea, and you know, we're still here. You know, we're still here.
Yeah,
and we
for sure.
Yeah, but to him, God gets the glory. You know, not us. He gets the glory, but we are here. What was that? Cain and Abel. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yeah,
right.
We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily be over there in their face 24/7 or over there, you know, trying to get over to have cookies and coffee or something, but to love them mm-hmm. so that we can live peaceably with the next man. You know what I'm saying? We can't hate our neighbor and expect to live in peace. No, no. But we put God first in all situations. All situations. Okay. Yep. Let me ask you comments. I see there's a number here from, there's a number here from Huntersville. Do you have any comments, sir?
Well, my comment is I remember when he was small, whenever we would go by to holler at them, and to listen to him now, he's a man. And he's not only a man, he has the word of God in his heart.
Yes.
And he knows whose he is and who he is.
Mm.
And he knows how to call on the divine whenever, not just whenever he's in need, because it's clear that if he was just calling on whenever he was in need, he wouldn't know how to do that.
Nope.
And the whole thing is he's walking by faith, not by sight. And I can relate to you with the pain. I can't take pain medicine. And when I had a rotator cuff surgery done, the people were, don't you want something for pain? No, it makes me sick. I'd rather hurt than to take that pain medicine. And so I have built a tolerance for pain. But, this journey that we are on is a continuous journey. And as we give our testimony, we are touching somebody out there who's listening, because that's what we are all about, empowering the community, empowering through the word of our Savior, and we're taking the gospel message to the world. And I just, it's amazing. As I was listening, you have been to the mountain in your profession. And you still have your feet on the ground, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I appreciate that. When I was going through this knee pain, I had some people from the church come over, and he was like, well, you know what? You could be still going through these trials and tribulations with this surgery. This is something I chose to do. It was time to do it. I was just in discomfort daily. But he said, you know what? You could be going through this because something might not be right with you yet, which is why God still has you going through this and something hasn't changed for, you know, while this is going on, or, you know, this could be for somebody else to see you going through and you suffering through, but you're coming out of it and you're having faith that God is going to bring you through it. And having that faith. So once those folks came over and talked to us, I had a better understanding. Because we can always have an understanding and gain information from others that allow us to move forward. So I had a different perspective on what was going on. And then at that point, I was, you know what? Yeah, while the pain is immense, and I it's like Jesus said, you know, if this cup shall pass from me, I'm not being crucified, and I didn't suffer even a tiller of a percent of what Christ suffered. But in terms of what my own suffering, I was thinking, Lord, if you can take this pain right now from me, God, please take it. But at the same time, you know, after I heard those words from people from in the ministry, I was like, you know what? You take it from me in your time. But it was painful. I mean, but it's God's time, you know, and you can't lose
That's
faith
right.
because it's not in your time, because we're just pieces of a big puzzle and pieces of a bigger design. And if somebody saw me suffering with grace, and saw something in me that they could take back and learn from that brings them closer to God based on how I went through it, then my suffering's been worth the while, because it's all about souls. And I'm not a perfect guy. I have so many flaws and so many faults, You know, I'm working on those daily, and the people around me can attest to that. And I just continue to try to work. But I also know that I grew up in church. You know, I was saved once. I backslid. I'm trying to find my way back, and I'm trying to do the things necessary for me to get back to where I need to be. So, it's about faith, but it's about God's time. And if we concentrate on God's timing as opposed to our timing, I think we'll be better off.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, sir. Great comments. I'm going to ask, there's a 206 area code. 206 area code, do you have any comments? Real quick, Margaret. Margaret,
hello there.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, sweetie.
Yes. Glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be with you guys, and I just want to say thank you, sir, for all the encouragement and all the talk, because I tell you, if you know, I'm babe, and I've been through so much in the last 5 years where I cannot walk. I've had colon issues. I don't have cancer, but my colon enlarged, and I'm having issues from that. And I've been having a whole lot of this, but you know what? You say God's time, that's my premise. I say God's time all the time. It's not my time, it's God's time. I wait on the Lord.
Sounds good, Margaret.
Yep.
Sounds
sure.
good. Yes. Now, Margaret's issues, real quick, I'm sure she doesn't mind my sharing real quick, and then I'll share a couple of things with her.
I sure don't.
Okay. Margaret's issues is that she is in a church, in our church body. I'm familiar with her. I know her fairly well. We visited her church. They visited our church and everything. And Margaret had a stroke about five years ago. Margaret
uh-huh.
had a stroke 5 years ago. And Margaret was in very bad shape, and we didn't know because – you know, sometimes people, they just don't put information out there about things like that or diseases and stuff. So I found out. I invited Margaret to start listening, possibly get some encouragement, some type of hope from anybody on the show, you know, and on the program, rather. And Margaret, she's a faithful listener, and I allowed Margaret time to share her story, her testimony, and God has healed.
Is anyone there? It sounds like we're having some issues with the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Digging arm from you, sir, there?
She said it may be for somebody else, not for you. But it's God working in that particular situation. And I'm just truly thankful that he is working in Margaret's situation as he is. As he is, because it's been a long time, and you know, after a minute, people get discouraged, want to give up. But Margaret, hey, she's a trooper, y'all. She's not giving up, and I give her opportunity to be on the show, you know, so she can give insight into some issues that she's dealt with in her life, and she can get that encouragement from other people. You know, and it's a godsend. That's what we're all about. It's not about me doing a talk show. No. It's a platform. It's a free platform for people to step up. They're going through something. They can put it out there. And there are others that are praying for them, you know, others that are
they're listening around the world. This is just not local. This is worldly, and it's truly a blessing, not necessarily for us, but it's for other people. It's truly a blessing for other people to get to hear how others are going through stuff, how they're persevering, how they're just, you know, just giving in to something they don't see. Because a lot of times people say, you know, hey, if I can't see it, I can't believe it. You know, like Thomas. He didn't believe because he didn't see Jesus. And he said, until I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, will I believe? And he saw him, and he did believe. But the word says, blessed are those that believe without seeing. And that's where we all are right now. Just like you, you definitely believe without seeing because you knew you had to go through it anyway. You know, you couldn't put it on pause. You can say, well, I'll give my family this. They can go through this for me. That don't work like that, you know. But that new creature, the mind, your mindset has changed. Your heart is becoming clearer. The darkness is fading away, you know, and that's what we have to get out to people, that there's hope. There is hope.
Yeah.
And real quick, my situation, did drugs for 20-plus years in New York. God saved me in New York. He sent me down here, my ex-wife. We had been separated 42 years, right? Okay, I come down here for her birthday that first year. And I went to church. I wanted to get baptized. Okay, I went up to the altar and got to praying, and the Holy Spirit, it rested on me. You know, it came on me. I did the dance. I didn't know what was going on until I stopped moving, and it was the Holy Spirit that had came down inside of me and had me moving and doing whatever. I didn't know. And I got baptized, went back to New York, quit my job Christmas Eve, came back down here. And you know, God has been using me. And I have been sickly, but it's not for me to say, oh, God, you just took me out of the drugs so I can be sick. You know, no, I wasn't sick during the drugs, but I'm going through. You know, I'm dealing with prostate cancer, but I'm still able to work as a normal human being. It's not that that's the end, you know, but I have faith in God. I do have faith in God, and other people have faith enough, and we pray for each other, and that helps to bring us through, you know. If there's no prayer, we really got nothing to stand for. But I just wanted to put that out.
You brought up Thomas. You know,
we just have to stand. That's right. We just have to stand. Okay.
Right. And you brought up Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas, right? And I think about that, and he needed to see for himself. And then on the other side, however, you think about the Israelites who were brought out of Egypt. Moses led them out of Egypt, and they saw all of these miracles while they were there and on the way out of Egypt, and they still did not believe. When they saw right in front of their eyes. So faith is truly seeing not by sight, you know, it's having faith. And sometimes it's difficult because I can tell you, I've never experienced the pain I experienced, but I knew that this too shall pass. But, you know, I'm going to have to go through it, but I'm going to need some help getting through this, and I'm going to need somebody. I know that my higher power, God, is there with me, taking me through it.
Yes.
And he did. So, and same with your situation that right now. And I talked to you about the prostate cancer and stuff. We talk, and you're encouraged about what's going on. You're able to work, and it's important for you to keep that job and keep working and be productive. And that's all because of your faith. You know God's going to work this out. And we talked yesterday, a couple days ago, about, you know, where the numbers are and what your test results are showing and how God is working that out already. So that's about trusting God, having faith, and persevering and having
to be
on God's time.
That's right. You know, and even though we're up in years, not necessarily, you know, we're at the end of life, but we're in the we're in upper years, you know, later years in our lives. And sometimes I look back and say, well, gee, I did all that and messed my life up all those years. Now I just got a small period of time to try to do the right thing, you know, to reach certain people. But God, he puts people in our lives
and he leads us to certain people. So whereas what we need later on, he gives it to us, and it's within us. So when we do get to a situation, all we have to do is say, okay, the power of God, I got the power of God within me. You know, my mind is clear. So my heart is ravaged, you know, and I can see clearly. I can see the truth. Because as the world gets worse and worse and worse and worse, we know that's not of God, you know. So we have to understand and realize and say, wait a minute. I don't want no part in this here, so I got to do what I got to do. I got to get myself separated from this mess that's going on in the world because it's all about destruction, you know. They can't pass a law that's going to stop the economy from falling, you know. They're considering all this stuff. They want to put the masses through all this stuff. And see, it comes from the top, trickles down, and we'll be the ones to suffer. But we have God within us. He gives us, you know, we can have a we can discern these things, see these things coming before they hit us. And then, too, we can deal accordingly, and we don't have to get all stressed out, you know. We don't have to get all stressed out. Yeah, because that's from the devil. We start getting stressed out. We're going to be popping pills. You know, we're going to be looking for this stuff they got out there now, the drugs. And we start smoking weed and all kind of crazy stuff, going back to what we thought was comfortable and problem solving in our lives. But if we go back now, we'll be lost. We have to stay on course, you know, because it gets clearer. As we read more of the Word, as we commune more with God, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer for us and our lives, you know.
Yep.
And we become, we strike up a relationship. It's a conscious contact with God, you know. It's not about going to church. Oh, I go to church, I get what I got to get from church. That's going to last me. No. We're our own agents. We can make a decision whether we want to deal or not. So our best bet is to go along with the program because God is our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer, and he is our judge. And he is the only way. His son is the only way, bro. Only way.
Yeah.
But
I will tell you that we have our church over here you can catch it live streaming, right? And you know, it's not about the church or going to church, but I tell you, there's something different about being with the other saints and with the people at the church because there's been a couple of times where I have not been able to go because of my knee or whatever, to where my stepdaughter, she went and she's like, you know, gosh, I felt the presence of God in there. And I was like, man, we didn't go. We had some other function to go. I was so disappointed, but not going. Even when I catch it live stream, it's not the same as being in with the saints and congregating with them where the presence of God is. And I used to be like, okay, it's Sunday, got to go to church. Football's on. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, you know, let's go to church. And when my knee gets to the point where I can, like, be comfortable without moving around, moving back and forth, I'll be going again as opposed to live streaming because, yeah, it's not about church necessarily, but it's good to be in the presence of other saints who believe and at a place where you know God is going to be, right? So it takes a community to say that they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to get along these days in this world, how much crazy stuff is going on. And the more people that think right and think like you and who are living the way they're supposed to under God, the better these days especially.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I see there's another caller we got here. I'll see if she has any comments. Good evening. Good evening, sis. Hello? Sis, are
good
you
evening.
Available?
Just getting back. Service was good.
Yeah.
Service was good. It was a good work. A good word, God got us just safe and back safe. So I'm glad he's able to go.
Thank God for that. Thank God.
a revival, guys. She went to a revival. My wife, she went to a revival, and I stayed here to do the ministry on tonight. So I thought maybe she would have a comment real quick.
I was just hearing the young man saying about, you know, it's good when you get to go to the church where you can fellowship with the saints and you know, just get together with the other saints and praise God. Because, you know, you gain strength from one another. You gain strength from one another. And he says not to fail to send yourself together. So it's good when you get together with the saints and you praising God and singing and all. And you gain strength that way from one another that way. So that's a blessing in itself. That is a blessing.
Yeah, it is.
And then also, it helps us to deal accordingly. As I mentioned, the world it's done got flipped, turned upside down. What is wrong has been turned out for right, and what's right has been flipped and it's wrong. You know, and the government they have made these laws to where these these sins. A sinful lifestyle and sinful living, sinful acts, they're lawful by man's law and the government. It's kind of confusing to some of our young people because I believe there's a, I'm not sure if it was a law or whatever, but in the schools, I can't even remember what area it is. I know we live in North Carolina, and it's possible that it's down here in the Southeast, that if a child approaches their teacher and tells them about their identity, what they believe their identity is, it's for the teacher to, I'm not sure if it's for the teacher to inform the administration or get in touch with the parent or whatever, but there is law has been passed or it's in the process of being passed. That the young people, our own young people, since prayer was taken out of school, that they can decide on what gender they want to be as a kid. You know, hey, when I was a kid, I wouldn't decide nothing. No, I couldn't pick out the shoes I wanted for Easter. I couldn't pick out the suit I wanted for Easter. You know, my pop, he had me wearing knickers to school. Now, knickers, I think knickers went out, the 50s? You know? He had me wearing knickers. I can make a decision on that. And here now, today, kids are able to make a decision on what gender they want to be. You know? But we have to step up and do, we just got to step up a little more, praying a little more. And our own family members, we have to find a way to approach them. Because it's a sensitive topic, very sensitive topic, you know. Yeah, because see, when I was a kid, I was exposed to gay men, and they were friends with my parents. You know, I dealt with that, you know, and at first I was scared to death, you know, but I became comfortable with it, and I thought it was a part of life. But as generations go pass on, it gets a little deeper. It gets a little deeper. And they get younger and younger and younger. And if they don't decide willingly to go along, sometimes they have been taken by family members or friends of family members and just abused, used and abused. So we have to get and give them to go on. Yeah. Did you have something to say?
Well, it's so much out there now. It is so much out there now that you just have to be careful. And mostly now, kids is raising themselves. And parents have stepped back and let the kids, you know, raise themselves. And they tell the parents what they want to do. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this generation is different than when I was raising my kids.
because when I was raising my kids, I cooked the food. I didn't ask them, well, what do you want to eat? Or are you going to school this morning? Or this and that. They knew they were going to school. Came to the table and ate what I cooked. But now they tell the parents, what you want to eat, Johnny? What you going to eat? What you want to eat? And it's different now. This generation's so different, you know. So it's just a different. It's different now. The way the parents is raising the kids today, it's just a different thing now. It's so different.
And then too, they can't lose their faith. You know, we have to hold on, no matter what it looks like. You know,
we
have to keep that faith, because if we lose that faith, like losing our family members, you know?
We believe. We have to know what we believe and stand on what we believe and who we believe. We have to know who we are in the Lord. If we don't know who we are in the Lord, what are we going to do? We have to know who we are in the Lord.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. And then, too, we have our young people there watching us. You know, they're watching, and then too you got the world is watching. You know, because we consider ourselves one type of people, separating ourselves from them. You know, and we look at the stuff they're doing as being crazy. They looking at us as being crazy because we're not doing what they're doing. You know, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we please God, He will give us what we want.
We're going to have faith that God will guide this new generation, because this is a different generation of folks that are coming up. And I'm not going to say it's a worse generation or anything like that. I'm just saying it's just different the way the young people are coming up and what they find to be important. The work ethic is different. All we can do is have faith that God sees this. We know God sees this, and that God's going to work this out for them all, because it is a different time right now, and I'm not sure if it's a good time or not. And we know the time is short already.
It is short. And we just have to pray for one another and show that love for one another. We have to do.
And live by the word. Let us live
the word. Live by the word.
Just about every situation in life, there is a there are circumstances in the Word of God that can help guide us through that. Not because but in 2023, and the Bible was written, over 2,000 years ago? You know, we have to understand that God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. He knows all things, and He got all power. So if we just, you know, stay the course, and stand without getting scared and falling and say, well, man, I can't handle this. I can't take more of this. If we stand strong, we'll God to be able, He'll give us the strength to go through. Just like the young man James was talking about.
And everything that's going on now, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in there.
Disciple. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to you, co-host. We have about 5 minutes. Any last comments or?
I just want to thank you for letting me be on the show today. And like I said, it's about, I just take it back to my situation. I mean, I know I wasn't going to pray to God and say, Lord, I mean, this pain is so intense and so immense. Can you just take this from me? I was praying like that at first. But when you think about it, that's about what I want. You got to pray in terms of, Lord, this was not comfortable, but you know everything that I'm feeling. You know everything that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. How long I'm going to feel this? So whenever you feel the need to take this from. from me, you will take this from me after your will is done, right? So, and I think we need to look at everything like that. We must look at everything like that. We gotta have faith, but faith means that we have faith, and that faith is about God's timing, not our own timing. Whether you want a car, or whether you want your knees to feel better, or whether you want to be healed from a disease, all you can do is put it in the hands of God. And continue to pray and draw closer to God and pray that God's will be done. And God's will is going to be done regardless. But you praying closer, getting closer to God, and just pray that, you know, God walk with you while you're going through it. And as time passed, you know, the knee started getting better. You know, and then I was worried about the knee not being better before the next knee got done. But lo and behold, I tell you, it was God, because I was still having some issues in the morning with that right knee. But as soon as I had that left knee surgery, those symptoms were gone on the right, and they've been gone on the right. And I thank God for that, because there's no way. God's not going to give me something I can't handle, but it would have been very difficult to have issues with both legs at one time, because I needed this right knee now to kind of limp on with this left knee giving me the problems. And God gave me that ability to do so by saying, okay, it's time for this to be gone, and it was gone. And now I'm just asking God to work with me and to be with me while I deal with this left knee. And this left knee is progressing. My PT is progressing. I'm ahead of schedule where I'm supposed to be. And the physical therapist says, you know what, you're 3 weeks in. You know, you didn't lose that cane until about 6 weeks in last time. You can lose that cane now. So I'm like, I put the cane down. I'm walking without the cane now. You know, so it's just about God's timing and what God has in store for me. So I recognize that. And I'm persevering, and I'm thanking God all along the way. So faith is about you trusting and believing, not about sight. And you trusting that God's going to take care of it in His own time.
In His own
time. And He will.
That's
okay. Wonderful.
And with that, I got a scripture to get us close to set down time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I'm in the King James again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man.
Common to man.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. So
praise
He knows what
God.
We can take. Much you can take. He knows how much I can stand.
He
knows how far our neighbors can go over there. And He, He is individualized. He has authority over everything, but He knows every little need, each and every one of us. You know, so we just leave it to Him. That faith, but long way. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. We got 1 minute here. I'm going to ask the sister if she'd like to close us out, please.
Is Margaret or me?
You. Yeah, please.
Okay. Most holy and all-wise God, we thank you for this podcast. We thank you for the sponsor tonight. We thank you, God, for what He had to say and how you're bringing him through with the surgery. Oh, God, you've been so good. And we just thank you, God, for all that you are doing. We thank you for how you're blessing my companion, because you're bringing him through all that he's been through as well. And we give you praise. We thank you for your healing power. God, continue to bless us, God. We may go off the air, but not out of your presence. Lead, God, and direct our path, and bless us, God, till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His name
we
Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you again, James.
Shalom.
We appreciate you being
Shalom.
Here, okay?
A wonderful night. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Shalom.
Yeah. Yes.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, Morgan.
Shalom, sweetheart.
Shalom.